What an excellent pair of sentiments for us to remember at this time, especially before the sermon that we're going to be talking about today. It is important for us to remember that we do serve a God who is almighty. We do serve a God who can be trusted to take care of us in difficult times. What we're going to talk about this morning has to do with the idea of wisdom. If you were in the Ecclesiastes class, we talked about the importance of wisdom from the standpoint of the fact that no matter what we do here on this earth, all the wisdom that can be gained on this earth, if we do not understand, if we do not grasp the fact that it is God that we need to follow with everything, then all of that wisdom will be completely useless. I was able to say on Wednesday how much I've really been appreciating Jim's class on Ecclesiastes and how uplifting it has been. And of course, the kind of irony is that this is a book that is traditionally not seen as being uplifting, but kind of depressing. But realistically, at some point or another, we have gotten to a point to where we realize that exercising our own power and capacity, getting to where we could really do anything we wanted to, having all the strength in the world for our own purposes, ultimately left us empty. And therefore, it was returning to God and coming before Him in humility that was the only way to really have true satisfaction and to be appreciated of true wisdom. I am so glad that Dan put those two songs together, that we do serve a God who is great and has done everything for us. And then we can trust Him to take care of us in every circumstance. Because when we stop trusting God, when we stop remembering how strong He is, we start to rely on our own power. Now that's going to be at the heart of what we're going to be talking about this morning, is trusting in our own power. We're going to be talking about Proverbs. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs, as a book, exists in a section of the Old Testament called Writings. The book of Proverbs is referred to as wisdom literature, along with several other books of the Old Testament. The other writings include the book of Job. You've also got Psalms, which was already read this morning, at least one of them. You have Ecclesiastes, which we've been studying in the Sunday morning class. You've got Song of Solomon. I believe that Jim will be taking on after Ecclesiastes. Have fun with that one, Jim. And I'm really glad that we are able to talk about this time of wisdom. The world around us talks about the kind of wisdom that we should all have. The world around us has this obsession with the new and the fascinating. And ultimately, it can leave us not only completely feeling empty, but it can lead us to where we are unable to relate to one another in a very real manner. This week has seen a lot of technology taking over the lives of a lot of people. People walking around like zombies with their phones held in their face. Worse than it had been before. And we're not engaging with one another on a real human level. And it's sad. And that's what technology is supposed to fix things. Technology is supposed to make our lives better. And it doesn't do that. So gathering here together, paying attention to God's Word is the best thing that we can do. And I'm very glad that you've been able to do that here today. Now, Proverbs is not only understood, but also stated to be written by Solomon, as well as a few other either added in later or by either other authors or things that were transcribed by Solomon. The structure of Proverbs, because it is wisdom literature, is poetic and it has a distinctive style of two or four line sections that are composed around a single thought. Therefore, wisdom is even at the heart of the structure of Proverbs, as is most Hebrew poetry. Now, these two or four line sections are parallel statements that make a thought rhyme instead of how in English we have rhymes that are sound rhymes. Now, you can either have a synonymous parallelism, so you have one thought that is repeated the same way twice. Here it says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. That's really the exact same thing said two different ways. But it's the thought that is rhymed. You can have a synthetic or a building parallelism. To understand a proverb, the words of the wise and their riddle. So the second line takes the first idea further. And then you also can have an antithetical or a contrasting parallelism. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but it is fools who despise wisdom and instruction. Now, while Proverbs is generally written toward a male, it is from Solomon's perspective, it is written to his son, some of the information is surely written for a male perspective. That is, how to avoid an immoral woman. But at the same time, you also have other sections that are written that are helpful for women as well. That is, how not to be an immoral woman. And so we have both of these things. Wisdom is not just for one gender or one group. According to Solomon, it is better for everyone. Now, some of his understandings of wisdom are reflected in things that he said. He says, acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Buy truth, Solomon says, and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. Do you think that wisdom was kind of important to Solomon? I think he thought it was a kind of a big deal. Now, the Holy Spirit recorded these things for us. That means the Holy Spirit thought it was a big deal too. And for us, it is our responsibility to take these things and to include them in our understanding of what God wants from us. Now, in Proverbs, you have information is disseminated two different ways. It's presented both as direct statements and also character descriptions. And so what you have is you have these characterizations of what wisdom looks like in different ways. Now, the most famous is wisdom herself. It's presented as someone who calls out so that those who are naive and simple can learn and can improve. But you also have these other personalities, these people who are not wise, that is the fool, people who have decided they do not want wisdom. They would rather be ignorant. So you have wisdom or the wise person versus folly or the foolish person. Now, there's a lot of different flavors of fool beyond that. Different kinds of people who have chosen folly in their lives. And so you've got the scoffer, which we talked about a couple of months ago. You have the liar, which we talked about last month. You have the immoral woman that I referenced earlier. This morning, we're going to be talking about the violent aggressor. You also have the sluggard, the person who's too lazy to get up and do any work. And you also have the dishonest merchant, that is somebody who works very hard to cheat others out of what they have. But the violent person, this violent aggressor, is a type of fool in Proverbs. I want us to think about that real quick. Solomon says violent people are foolish. In this world, we celebrate the violent. The people who are strong in the flesh, the people whose anger overtakes them so that they can accomplish something that they want. They're going to do for themselves and they're going to take it by force. That's what is constantly celebrated in the world we live in. Look in our movies, look in our television, our books, or even the way that the media portrays certain organizations. It is violence and fleshly strength that the world tells us is winning. Solomon says, no, it does not. To engage in anger and violence is foolishness. And it is not what God wants from any one of us. So this morning we're going to notice some things about this violent aggressor. The first thing we're going to notice is the violent aggressor is dedicated to not only being destructive, but is also dangerous in the things that they do. We're going to talk about this idea that the violent aggressor is a prisoner to the pretense of power. Anger and violence are cheap imitations of real power. The person who is truly powerful, that is, they possess real capacity, does not need to engage in a competition with other people. They are not in the least diminished by the power of others. And we're also going to see that the violent aggressor is actively arrogant against the Almighty. Brothers and sisters, when we realize that real capacity comes from God, we do not try to establish our own power base by railing against other people. We cooperate with the Creator and we relish the true power that He provides for each one of us. Go ahead, like I said in Proverbs, if you'll turn first to the first chapter. Start at the beginning. It's a very good place to start, I hear. But in chapter 1 of Proverbs, if you'll start reading with me in verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, that is the grave, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth and will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. I like how Solomon says that people who engage in this kind of behavior don't even have the sense that God gave a bird. Birds know better than to walk into a trap. You don't just lay the trap in front of a bird. They're going to know it's there. He says, but these people, they lay the trap and they walk right into it. That is what violence is. It is laying a trap for yourself. It makes it so that you don't even have enough sense to avoid danger, because you invite it in this life that you cultivate. And I lost my screen again. Well, it's not that special anyway. These are warnings that we hope that wise people would want to pass on to their children. Even an ex-gang member will often say that they don't want their kids joining a gang, because it starts a cycle of violence that never ends. It just continues to take lives. No one ever joining a gang solved the problem that they were trying to solve. You talk to anyone who's ever been involved in this. You talk to anyone who's ever been in that life of violence over and over. You say, did it help? They say, no. No, it didn't help. I just got stuck. So a life spent bringing about destruction, it doesn't spare the one doing the destroying. Violence is never a one-way street. There are always consequences, either practical and physical consequences, or there are spiritual consequences. And those consequences come around to hurt the violent people. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 7, the violence of the wicked will drag them away because they refuse to act with justice. In the fourth chapter of Proverbs, if you'll turn over there, fourth chapter of Proverbs, we'll start reading in verse 14. Proverbs chapter 4, start reading in verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. This idea of getting involved with people who continue to celebrate violence, he says, just don't get involved with it. They cannot sleep. They cannot have peace. They cannot be okay with themselves unless they are going after someone else in an attempt to defeat or to overthrow. He says, do not engage in that. Do not cultivate that. Do not follow after that. Violence is the habit of people whose character is dominated by both evil and wickedness. Now, this shows us the same thing we read in the New Testament. I'm glad that Thane read the passage that he did so clearly. There are two lives that you and I can choose to live. In front of us all, every day, we have the choice of what we're going to do. One life is one of darkness, and one is of life. One is of flesh, and one is of spirit. Violence is a characteristic of flesh and darkness. The end of flesh is corruption, and the end of darkness is snares and stumbling. Darkness and danger, in this case, go hand in hand. Yeah, you and I can be attracted to that. You and I can look at people who are kind of dangerous. They look strong. They feel strong. They get what they want. Maybe they look successful. And this doesn't have to only be people who punch other people in the face. This can be people who engage in the kind of business practices that are the same thing. They take advantage of other people. And we say, wow, that person. Wow, how fancy that is. Look at the life that they have. They get what they want. People respect them. Wouldn't it be nice to be like that? Wouldn't it be nice to have people kowtow to you? Wouldn't it be nice for people to tremble when you walk in the room? Solomon says, no, it isn't that nice. And in fact, it's dangerous, not only for other people, it's dangerous for you. In the 22nd chapter of Proverbs, let's go ahead and look in Proverbs chapter 22. In Proverbs chapter 22, starting in verse 24. Proverbs chapter 22, starting in verse 24. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. You know, there are only a very few ways in the world where ignorance is truly bliss, and this is one of them. No one is ever better after learning about violent and uncontrolled anger. Because there are only two ways you can learn more about a violent person's ways. One is you either learn how to be violent, or two, you become the victim of their violence. Neither one is helpful for a life of safety and light. One of the biggest dangers that we can read about in this case is that the violent person has an influence on other people. But unfortunately, most of the damage that he actually inflicts is on himself. Violence, in this case, is a trap that you and I do not want to fall into. I'm glad Solomon recorded these things so that we could have this wisdom. In the 16th chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16, starting in verse 27. Proverbs chapter 20, chapter 16, starting in verse 27. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like a scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. Down in verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. You know, there's not a whole lot of things that are more frustrating in the world than capacity that is truly wasted. There are a lot of television shows I would really like to watch because you have good story craft. There are movies I would like to watch because you have excellent actors. You have storylines that are so compelling that I have to stay away from. Because involved with all of that is also the terrible things of the flesh. Either you have things that are trying to lure you in with sexuality. You have tawdry jokes that ruin all of the good humor that would be there. You have people who just have no regard for right and wrong. And so all of this capacity, these people who do these great things, great comedians, I would love them, but I just can't do it. It's a waste of that great capacity. It is a waste of great capacity to be involved with violence and uncontrolled anger. Digging a hole to find bad things. A scorching fire. Splitting up friends. Leading somewhere someone useless. What is that? It's a waste. This is why having control over your emotions is always preferable. Because if you have control over your emotions, then you can use your capacity for good and for blessing other people. Real strength is not in being led around by your anger, but in controlling your emotions. The violent person is a slave to their impulses, and they end up separating those who are intimate. In chapter 14 of Proverbs, so just a few more pages back, toward the beginning. Proverbs chapter 14, starting in verse 29. Proverbs chapter 14, starting in verse 29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. There are those who think that being passionate about everything is always a good thing. But in this case, passion is not a healthy zeal to accomplish something positive. It is just unchecked aggression. And being out of control of one's own capacity is self-destructive. I used to work alongside some people who had a horse ranch. And I will never forget the day they were trying to bust in the horses that were fresh. I have never seen so much raw power in my life. When you see a horse that is not tamed, you watch a little tiny human being try to sit on top of that horse, you cannot be anything but impressed. The muscles on that creature are phenomenal. And the little human gets tossed around like a rag doll. And I'm amazed at two things. One, that human beings ever decided they were going to tame horses. Who in their right mind ever did that first? But the other thing that impressed me was how much safer life can be when that horse is tamed. How much of that great power is under control. Phenomenal amount of power that can be directed. And then you watch the horse shows. You watch how they trot in very specific ways. You watch all the things that they can do. You go, wow, you see the jumping that they can do. That is an amazing thing. That's us. Your passion, your zeal has a lot of capacity. You can do a lot of great work. If it is unchecked passion, if it is uncontrolled passion, all you do is hurt yourself and others. You've got to be able to learn how important it is to be in control of your own capacity. In chapter 19 of Proverbs, verse 19, he says it like this. A man of great anger will bear the penalty. For if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. You ever have that one friend, you ask yourself, man, are they ever going to learn? Maybe that one associate that you had spent time with, when are they ever going to change? That person who's called you up for the fifth time, man, I need some help. You don't want to answer that call because you know that he's always going to be in trouble again. That's unchecked passion. That's this person who's out of control, out of their own capacity. We choose to be out of control when we don't want to have control over our own emotions. And danger ends up becoming a constant for those who perpetually serve anger like a slave. In the 15th chapter of Proverbs, we'll start reading in verse 16. Chapter 15, starting in verse 16. I know this sounds like a lot of information being thrown at you, but I want you to understand and walk away from this with seeing how much Solomon talks about this. I want us to be impressed by the time and the amount of ink that Solomon spilled on this very topic, because it's very important for us to understand. In chapter 15, starting in verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. You know, there are people who think that the end justifies the means. This says that the means directly affect the end. Life is not just about the things that you can have, the things that you can enjoy, but how you understand the blessings that you have. When you and I understand that our blessings come from God, then we're going to go about getting them in a way that He prescribes. But if we want to try violence to get the things we want, or our own physical fleshly strength, we're never going to enjoy the things that we have. Now, our capacity, on the other hand, is something that we can share with other people. In Proverbs chapter 17, verses 14 and 19, both. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. Verse 19, he who loves transgression loves strife. He who raises his door seeks destruction. You know, once this fight starts, it's already out of control. We choose to be out of control when we boast or brag about our life and our possessions. This idea of raises his door, it's really kind of a strange figure for us. It's about keeping up with the Joneses. It's about bragging. It's about saying how great your life is. You ever meet that person who's a problem with one-upmanship? It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter how good things are. They've got to be better than you. They've got to be in competition with you. You can't say a good thing's happened to you ever because that person has had a better thing. They do a better thing. You're not as good as they are. I like how it puts them in the same context. It means they're out of control. Think about that. When my self-worth is tied up in how someone appraises my things, my life, I'm out of control. It's in their hands. Same thing with aggression. How many times do we tell ourselves, man, I would be peaceful if it wasn't for them. I would be calm if it wasn't for that guy. I would be okay. I would never do or say a bad thing if it wasn't for somebody else. But they said this. They did this thing and it got me. I can't control my... Exactly. You put your power in someone else. You have no control over your own capacity. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3 says, keeping away from strife is an honor for a man. But any fool will quarrel. No one ever says, man, that guy is so wise, he will fight with anybody. You don't hear that. You say, how wise is that person? They're so wise, it doesn't matter what people say. He keeps his calm. That's what wisdom is. Someone who is wise doesn't worry about people who don't accept his wisdom. It's sad for them, but he knows that a fight won't help. In the 10th chapter of Proverbs, starting in verse 11, I want us to see that this is such a danger for us to get involved in this slavery of this idea of power, this false definition of power. In chapter 10 of Proverbs, starting in verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgression. Notice the close connection to concealing violence and covering transgression. So you have similar phrasing, but they have very different meanings. How we define power and our own understanding will change the way that we act and the way that we react. If we define power as control, then strife will appeal to us because we have to hoard control for ourselves. But if we define power as capacity, then we can work for peace because I can share my capacity with someone else. Overlooking transgression in that case, it gives other person the capacity they need. I know they messed up. It's a reality. But I don't have to make it my problem. I don't have to fight with this person about that. It's honestly better if this person is able to continue on and do well. I don't have to put them down so that I have more control. Acting with uncontrolled anger is allowing others to control our actions. Peace is a solitary action that we can do to let go. And there are several places that talk about this. 26:21, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. 19:11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. I think the worst danger of getting involved and always being violent and getting involved in aggression is it makes me arrogant. In Proverbs chapter 3, we have a set of warnings that have to do with treating other people right. In Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 27. Notice how this all has to do with how we treat other people. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Do not contend with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Though he scoffs at scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. The wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. Notice how in the beginning, it all has to do with these actions that do not take into account other people, but take advantage. And then turn that around and say, this is how God feels about those kinds of actions. If you and I want to be close to God, we need to consider the best way to love one another. Unjust enmity toward others, it ruins our right relationship with a God of peace. We want to have the patience and the grace of God toward us that we need to act with love toward other people, and that includes avoiding violence at all costs. In chapter 28 of Proverbs, starting in verse 25. I want to continue to look at this connection between arrogance and violence. An arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. One of the biggest problems with resorting to violence is that it relies on solving problems with our own sense of power. Now, I've heard more talk in the past few years, even from people who claim to follow God, about how they have to make sure they have enough guns because the political situation in the world is X and Y, because this social situation is happening. And so I need to make sure I have enough guns. It's like they don't remember who they serve. It's like they've forgotten who it is who really runs the world. Aggression is arrogance because it sets us against God by not seeking His favor above anything else. Do we really trust God to handle our situations? Or do we feel like we have to do it ourselves? The way the world solves problems with their own might ends in someone getting hurt. Do I care about whether God loves everyone? Or do I want to make sure He takes care of me and me alone? I cannot be seeking God's salvation and humility while I'm relying on my own salvation. And the last passage I'll read with you this morning is in Proverbs chapter 30. Starting in verse 32. If you don't remember anything from this morning, remember this. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have plotted evil, put your hand on your mouth. For the churning of milk produces butter, and the pressing of the nose brings forth blood. So the churning of anger produces strife. The lie that violence tells us is, I cannot help myself. The truth is that we can all learn to do better. God provides grace and mercy so that the violent can lay down their arms. We always have the opportunity to change direction. And if we have chosen the life of violence in the past, if we have chosen aggression, we can let it go. Once we realize that we hurt ourselves more than anyone else, then we can choose to be different. You know, the key to cultivating peace is realizing that God has sought peace with us. After everything we've done, God found a way and provided a way for us to keep from incurring His wrath. Don't risk ruin this morning. Repent. Turn around. Change your ways. This morning, the question for us all is, will you abandon aggression? If you are in danger of destruction, this morning you can turn and you can become dedicated to Jesus. Even violent aggressors can have a new life of peace and patience with Him. If you're not sure that's possible, talk to me afterward. If you're a prisoner to the profane, Jesus' power can free you. He can break the hold that violence and anger has on your life, because He can give you a new life in Him. You can be made the way that God intended you to be. If your actions have been arrogant and against the Almighty, then you can accept His absolution. If you stand in need this morning of a right relationship with God, do not leave here without changing that. If you need to become a peaceful ambassador for Jesus this morning, you could do that. If you have never studied the Bible, we would love to study the Bible with you. And you'll see the Bible tells you the truth about life. But if you've read the Bible and you know what it says, and you also know what you need to do, you know that you can come to Him today, knowing for sure, without a doubt, He is the King, He is the chosen Savior, He is the Son of God. And you can say out loud what you know to be true. And say, I am ready to take on His name as my own for the rest of my life. His mission will be my mission as long as I am on this earth. You can turn around. You can change from the inside out. The Bible calls that repentance. That change begins when you take your old failed life that you have now. The life that you know has brought you nothing. You can have it crucified on the cross with Jesus. And buried in the waters of baptism so that He can raise you up a brand new creature. Ready for a life of His wisdom and His rule. If at one time you had followed Christ, if at one time you had been peaceful, and you know you've given in to the temptation of anger and violence, He is still faithful and He is ready to forgive. If this morning you have a spiritual need, please make it now as we stand and as we sing.